Welcome back to Community Connections. This time of the month, on the fourth Wednesday of the month, between 1 and 2, we have Cindy McLeish. And I told you, Cindy was tied up, but she's now with us. Cindy, first of all, hello.
Hello, Alan. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good to see you, Cindy.
In now, Healesville, in the flash new premises.
Yeah, it's terrific, isn't it?
Very comfortable.
The major thing is you've been held up, and you were held up at Brover. So tell us a bit about what's been going on there, please, Cindy.
Well, this week, or today, was the 40th anniversary of the establishment of the Upper Yarra Probus. So they've had a bit of a celebration.
It's great. 40 years is not bad for community organisations.
No, it's not bad, and they're really proud of it. And Janine Nation, the secretary, she said to me that there's not too many community organisations that can actually say that they've clocked up 40 years.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. And I'm sure you would too.
Oh, absolutely. And especially, you know, when they had the hassle through COVID, it was difficult for so many clubs. But she really said that the strength and the determination of their club kept it up and running and made sure that they pretty well didn't miss a beat, and so that their club survived. And their club has survived. And so today they had a 40th anniversary lunch, and there was about, I think they said 42 or 43 people and a couple of others that were there. So it was a pretty good...
Any of the original members, are they still around?
Well, given that it's for retirees and...
well, it's
all just
pushing me luck.
and 40 years ago was... but I did ask a little bit about that today.
Yep.
And it was founded by Martin Munro in 1983. So people might remember Martin Munro because he was a member of the Rotary Club of Yarra Junction. And this Probus... in 2010 moved from being men only, like that wasn't very long ago really, to include women, and they changed into a combined club. And when I was at the lunch today and I was looking at the number of women, they far outnumber the blokes. It felt like it. I really did think that the number of women outranked the number of blokes that was there. And so we had the president, Ted Clark, and Janine Nation were running the show.
When you look back, there was you wonder why it took so long for them, because at one stage there was a Probus ladies club, wasn't there, and there was a Probus men's club, and I remember, and it's the same with Rotary and Lions, people were going to quit if the ladies became involved, and now they're just as they should have been. I don't know why there was ever the resistance.
Look, do you know, it's interesting you say that, because with the men's sheds is a similar type of thing. Now, one of the things that's great about the men's sheds is it allows men to just go and talk to men.
Yep.
But they do have days where ladies come, and in Mansfield, for example, the quilters share the premises. So it's kind of a little hallway in between, but the quilters have got all their stuff set up on one side and the men's shed have got theirs at the other side. So there's plenty of opportunities there for the men to just chat to the men. And I think that's really important.
But well, it seems to be one. I know that there's a bit of reluctance not to have women in that, but that is one of the basics of it, isn't it? That men aren't competing with each other when there are women around. It's just a case of they can get there and say whatever they like almost.
And women are good at doing that. Women have so many more social functions or catching up with other women.
Yep.
And they do that much more naturally, whereas men, that's not the case. So the men's shed has been great like that, but something like Probus, you know, where they have social events and outings and they learn some skills and things like that, it doesn't matter at all, you know. It's a little bit more educational sometimes for people.
And let's be honest, with Rotary and Lions and that, it's about fundraising as well as fellowship, but Probus is none of that, is it? It's just purely and simply a fun organisation to belong to.
That's right. You know, they have the monthly meetings, the Probus group over at Yarra Junction at the Bowls Club. And people would know the Bowls Club just in behind the basketball stadium there. They're always looking for new members, and everyone had a smile on their face today, and everybody was, you know, very chatty and were very happy to be part of the Upper Yarra Prover. So congratulations on 40 years.
Fantastic. And the other thing too, I just should mention, I believe it's fairly cheap to belong to Rotary because, you know, sometimes retirees don't have a lot of money, and I think it's a very, very cheap organisation to belong to for that reason.
Okay, that's something we didn't talk about at lunch.
I'm pretty certain it is. Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Connections, we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you'd like to mention the entertainer that was on.
Well, I do want to give the local entertainer a little bit of a plug, actually. Anthony Gerace, I think that's how you pronounce his name, did a half-hour set for Probus as the entertainment to start, and he's got a great range and sings songs that everybody knows. But he's got a really good story. He's local. He was at Mount Lilydale College. Not last year, a little bit older than, you know. But he's become really quite accomplished, and he's been talking about having been to Memphis and New York, and I think he'd done a little bit of singing, but he does a lot of the carols by candlelights locally. He performs at Kalara. He'd been working there, and he's doing morning melodies tomorrow, I think. The 24th is tomorrow. I think at the Upper Yarra RSL as well. But, you know, he's had really quite an accomplished career, and he's got a really lovely voice. So, and I've got to say, this was a funny part. But he also works there. So, they managed to book him for half hour before his shift started. And I said to him, what do you do? And he said, front of house. So sure enough, when the food was coming out, he was there. Very versatile, but he's got a great voice. And, you know, he seems to be getting quite a bit of, promotion around the place and performing. And it's always great when somebody's so local and they know the area.
Oh, terrific. So he's at the Upper Yarra RSL tomorrow, you think?
Yep, Morning Melodies. And I think it was about 10:15, I think he said. Somebody asked him today. But, you know, he's performed out at Killara Estate. That's got a, it's got a good space to do that sort of thing. And I think he can probably sing most things. You know, if somebody asks, can you sing this or sing that? And he seems to have a very good range, but that was fun. And it was really good.
That's terrific. And there are a great lot of entertainers, or there are quite a number of entertainers that live in the Yarra Valley too, which is good.
Indeed, wow. Indeed. There are quite a few actors as well.
Yeah.
All sorts.
Vietnam Veterans Day was on the other day, Cindy.
It was. So the actual Vietnam Veterans Day was on Friday the 18th. But the Outer East, and I so love this, what the Outer East do, is that all of the RSLs in the area and sub-branches all get together and they rotate hosting. They rotate hosting. So this year was Healesville. Next year, I think it's at Ferntree Gully or Boronia. So it goes from that far. Last year, I think it was freezing in Yarra Glen. So I think Croydon, Lilydale, Upper Yarra, Warburton, Healesville, you know, like in this outer east,
yeah,
but mostly centred in and around Yarra Valley. So the RSL at Healesville did the services time. Colette Shaw, they've got a female president down there. And she was, you know, certainly the face, the voice, and all of the guys that have been there for donkeys still working away were doing everything that they could to support. But it's an important... It's an important day to remember.
It is, because they never got the sort of recognition when they came back along them, did they? They were treated very badly.
Treated very badly. And, you know, that's on top of the horrors of war.
Yep.
You know, when you had veterans from World War I and World War II, you mightn't have treated them badly at all, but they had the horrors of war, whereas the Vietnam vets had both.
Had both, yeah.
And, you know, for many of them, that they've struggled in silence sometimes not in silence. Some have done okay, but, yeah, you know, they've still got that real pain.
Yeah, and don't feel as though it was worthwhile, because when they got back, they were treated so poorly.
Precisely. But, yeah, do you know, our involvement with the war was around trying to halt the spread of communism through Southeast Asia.
Yep.
And essentially that happened.
Yep.
So, you know, the outcome of the war wasn't great from our point of view,
yep,
from a number of points, actually. But that the communism didn't take rise and take up all of Southeast Asia. So
yeah, they
thought
it was going to go.
Well, that's, yeah, really what they thought would happen. Yep. And on top of that, so on Friday, that was the Sunday before the 18th, and then on Friday there were a number of other services. So there was Alexandra had a small one, Mansfield had a small one, and Seymour had quite a large one.
Did they?
They did. And in fact...
Because in Seymour there's a wall, isn't there, or something,
yes,
in a park.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And so they had it there. There's a bowl. And, gosh, when was it? I was involved in when it was being established, because the state government put money, the council put money, the federal government put money. It was a really... it was a great project. And there's this wall. It's kind of a glassy perspex thing. It's pretty fancy.
Yeah.
And it's got all these photos inlaid in it, but with the names all over the photos of the 60,000 people. 60,000. So every name, and it's set out by Army, Air Force, Navy, so you can find a name. Now, most people will know somebody, whether it's a family member or neighbour or friend of a family. You know, they'll know somebody who went to war or who,
yep,
you know, so they should... You can find their name on the wall. But not only that, you have also the... there's a separate one to recognise those that lost their lives.
Yeah, which is,
you know, there's quite a few hundred of those too, 500, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of people, a lot of them lost their lives, and more have been damaged because of it, haven't they? There's some horrific stories around.
Yeah, and they can't add to it. So if they're... the nature of the glass and how it was made means that they can't, you know, put an extra two names like you do on an honour board or something. Yeah, yeah. They can't actually do that. So that's, you know, I mean, it's a little bit tough, I guess. But they've got a Huey and Cannons, and they, what they've done is they planted particular, I think it's spotted gums, they planted them close together to look like the Vietnam jungle. And they use other plants to look like the paddy fields as well. And it's, you know, it's been a few years since I've had a look and a walk around there, and it really is starting to look, you know, terrific. I think it was opened in, one of the guys found a photo of me there in maybe, you know, about 2012 or something like that, when it happened.
All right, we'll just take a quick break. Now, I'm just going to play this little promotion again for the youth concert that's coming up on Friday the 15th of September from 5 to 8pm up at ECOS. And this is the young people, or the young children from the Yarra Junction Community Siri College. So just have a quick listen to this. It'd be great if you could go along and support it.
Home to a cactus in a...
Come to ECOS on Friday the 15th of September from 5pm to 8pm for a free concert for all ages featuring local youth musicians. There will be fairy floss donuts and other food for sale. ECOS is at 711 Old Warburton Road, Wesburn. See you there.
FM 99.1 is now broadcasting from new studio facilities at 9 Lilydale Road, Healesville.
Sound so true, it almost startles you.
Feel free to get in touch via email info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. Call us on 59615991.
It's only the beginning.
Reception so clear, performance so great, you'll wonder what you've been missing.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Always.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Cindy. Cindy, we didn't make mention that one of the reasons why the Vietnam Vet celebrations were on were because of...
Well, there's two reasons. So the date is about the anniversary of the Battle of Long Tan. Right. However, this year was 50 years since the end of the war.
Seems incredible, doesn't it?
It does, 50 years since the end of it. And for, there are so many amongst us who weren't alive then.
Yeah.
And to be reminded, but, again, as I said, they might have known a family member, but, and it had been the longest war.
Yeah.
But, now some of the more modern-day ones that have fought quite differently, Australia's involved quite differently, are exceeding that.
Now, you'd like to talk about, it's a subject we don't want to have to talk about, and that's family violence. But unfortunately, it's this huge epidemic of it in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Do you know, it's a really tricky one. So I'm the Shadow Minister for the Prevention of Family Violence. Yeah. And so I get a lot of people contacting my office who... I think they really just want to be heard about their stories and to have things changed.
Yep.
And it's something that, everybody agrees that we need to have the system as best we can and with the resources that we've got. But, some of the stories that you hear from people of... It's really quite sad to see the impact. And I know the police even used to, if children were present... It's now they don't look at those children as just being present in a family violence incident. They, they had a greater role than being present because they were impacted, I think might be the word, because even if you're not being hit or abused or whatever, but you're witnessing that from, the majority of violence is men on women. There is some the other way around, but
did
the majority...
Did you see one in the paper, I think it was yesterday, where... The guy was arrested and they let him out on bail and the lady didn't know and he went out round to his place. She was there clearing her stuff out and he killed her. It was in this week's paper.
Yes, I did hear that. Yeah, and maybe some of our systems aren't quite what they should be, and so it's been really valuable to talk to people and hear their harrowing stories. And, they're not short conversations by any means. But it prompted me to ask the minister whether I could have a briefing from the Victoria Police because they have their Family Violence Command section as well.
Yep.
And so, it's understanding everybody that's involved in this and how you change that. And some things are interesting, because they say the kids that grow up around it, some kids... grow up to copy and imitate that behaviour, and others say that behaviour's dreadful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like that, and completely go the other way.
Yep.
And it's good to hear that. It'd be great if everybody said that's just not acceptable. And the efforts to change it aren't something that's just going to happen overnight. You've got to support people and you've got to try and prevent it. But there's also a lot of culture change that, and I've been involved with multicultural groups who have got an alliance, and I hosted them in Parliament recently with the Leader of the Greens, and we had people from many different multicultural communities come in, people who are working in those areas, and they're all sort of talking and swapping ideas about what they can do and what's hard, and what, for a lot of people in those communities that don't speak good English, in some countries... That I can't believe this, but it's okay. Well, it's not okay, but if women have acid thrown in their face, now I don't even know where you go and get acid other than the science lab at school, throw it in their face. But because the judiciary favours men in those countries, the men get away with it and the women end up scarred. Now, coming out here, the men don't always know, hey, you can't do that, and the women don't know if it happens that there's protections, and so there's a lot of barriers that need to be broken down as well. So that's changing the dynamic of family violence other than just what we've also known, because you've got these cultural differences?
Well, because in some of these countries, the wife or the woman is still looked more as a chattel, aren't they, than an actual person themselves.
And it's changed. When you look at some countries in the Middle East, and Afghanistan's a great example of what's happened in Afghanistan since the Taliban took over, and where women had a life and were able to go out and do things, they can't now. And it's terribly difficult.
They didn't have it, did they? Then they got it back for a while.
Yeah.
And now they've taken over again and they've lost what they had.
Yeah. And I think there's a columnist in the Herald Sun, Rita Panahi, who's, I guess, reasonably controversial. She's Iranian, and she has photos that she puts up every now and again of her mum growing up in Iran. And everyone was on the beach in bikinis,
and
didn't have the head coverings and things like that. And for people of her mother's age, they remember what it was like. Yeah. It was quite different then. And so when people come out to Australia, and we've got different laws and different cultures and expectations, and it's difficult for sometimes people to work out that if you're the victim, there are things that can be there to support you. And we've got a lot of different groups working.
And that's
that.
The way it should be too, shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Got my mind. I'm in love. And I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. But doubt in my mind. I'm in love. And I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. A doubt in my mind. I'm in love. And I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you'd like to talk about homelessness myth.
Sorry, Alan, just had to adjust the microphone there. It seems that I managed to destroy it somehow, waving my hands around. Look, it was homelessness week, the week before last, I think that was, and there was quite a bit of activity, and in fact, Parliament a couple of weeks ago, a lot of the agencies from all around the state came in to demonstrate, their passion for doing something about it.
Yep.
And the steps of Parliament were covered in, it was the most extraordinary sight, it was beautiful, origami little houses for homes,
yeah.
All colours and all of the steps. And it's a pretty big area, the front of Parliament,
yeah.
And half of it, maybe just under half of it, was covered, and there's a million steps in all these little homes. So the colours were just really extraordinary, and they had a bit of a rally, and so people were there highlighting the, you know, the issue of homelessness and, yep. and talking to MPs of all parties about it and what's happening and not and what's not happening. And you had people from all over the place. We had people from the valley in there and Warragul and the Goulburn Valley as well. So, you know, people from all over the state came down to... Well, to talk about it.
I mean, it's a problem everywhere, isn't it? It's not defined just to any particular area.
No. And it's hidden sometimes too. It's hidden. People hide their own homelessness.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because of being ashamed or...?
Probably. Some people that have found themselves in a situation that, you know, they wouldn't have thought. So homelessness, you know, like... A lot of older women, for example, might couch surf.
I'm just going to mention that. Why do you think there seems to have been a bigger proportion of homelessness in the over 50 ladies than men over the last few years? Do you know any idea why that would be, Cindy?
Well, it's actually pretty interesting because a lot of it is about finance and... And there's different elements because everybody's subject to something quite different. Yep. But women who are older than that now haven't had their own super.
That's true, yep.
And so now people are much more... You know, if you've been a stay-at-home mum, you haven't had income, you've been reliant on a male for your, you know, paying the bills or whatever, yep. and it goes belly up and you haven't been working and you haven't got the skills to get back in the workplace or you're pretty rusty... you know, that you don't have enough to buy a home, you don't have super, and so you can find yourself in times of need. I've heard of other stories where people have been scammed out of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, they live in their car or they stay with their sister or their friend and, you know, keep moving around.
There's no life for them either, is it?
No, it must be terribly distressing. And there are places that you can obviously eat and... do washing and have showers and things like that. People, you know, can do that quietly. Even in Healesville and Warburton, that can be done. Yep. But it doesn't solve the problem of, you know, housing people. And during Homelessness Week, I went down to the St Mary's House of Welcome in Fitzroy Street, in Brunswick Street, Fitzroy. And I went there while they were... doing the lunch shift and help serve the meals. And it's a Catholic organisation, St Mary's House of Welcome, and they have two sittings at lunch. They do a breakfast and they have two sittings at lunch, you know, like at 12:15, people are in there, like the queues there. They get them in, feed them, give them a cup of tea, coffee, put a meal on the table, a hot meal, which is pretty good actually. Wasn't huge, but it was substantial. Really, it was enough. Yeah. And then... small apple crumbly or something like that with a little bit of ice cream for dessert. Then they're out and then the next lot come in. And, you know, you've got to wipe down all the tables and get everything all done and set up again.
It's that big a need, isn't it?
It is. And people were actually coming from a fair distance away. So they were known to the organisation. But the organisation there have other elements to help people as well. But they do provide the meals, which... really, you know, goes a long way.
And there's a couple of organisations in, I think, Warburton and Yarra Junction too that do the same.
Yeah.
Do the same.
Yeah, yeah. But this is every day of the week, pretty well. Yeah, it's not just your once a week because, you know, we have dinner at Darren's on a, I think it was Tuesday night in Healesville, and Link do what down at in Junction. They were having the community meals, and people do put on the community meals to get people out and have somebody to talk to as well. But this is, you know, pretty well every meal of the day type thing, and they've got all the volunteers to come and do it. And so, you know, there was a number of MPs there and we got to listen to them and talk to the people, and it was clear that some people had fallen on very hard times.
And some of those would never expect it in their lifetime to ever fall on those times, particularly if they got married young. And I'm talking probably more about the women. They married young, had the children, all that. They probably thought they were set for life.
Yeah, and then there was a lot of men as well. And some have mental illness and struggle with work. and even struggling with staying in stable accommodation. But there was a great story of a woman who had been homeless, and she wasn't particularly old. I think she might have been in her late 30s. And they found her somewhere in a boarding house. You know, she had a room in a boarding house, and it was helping her turn her life around because she had a roof over her head. And then it takes away all of that, the fear about the unknown, and then you can start to get, you know, on top of things. Ben Warren at Yarra Junction, you know, they do such a great job helping people in need as well, to help them get to from A to B so that then they can start to rebuild their lives.
Cindy, unfortunately, it's nearly time for us to go. We thank you again for coming in and talking to us. We just very briefly, you were on a task force talking about organ donation. Is there any further progression on that yet? Or
no, we've got some hearings tomorrow, actually. Oh, Friday. We've got hearings Friday. And we're talking to people who have been somebody who's made a decision for a loved one who's deceased, but also people who have received. So we're having just some quiet little chats, and we're going to the tissue bank because you can donate. Remember, I talked about tissues. Yeah. So we're going to the Victorian Tissue Bank on Friday afternoon as well.
We shall keep talking about that every time we see you, because I'm really keen to see what the outcome of that is. Cindy, again, thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
We look forward to talking. It'll be September.
Gosh, the year's getting away. It'll be after grand final. It won't be the Cats.